it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Expectations now changing for everybody?
They could, and they almost should, in a vacuum, be 10-3. By the time they get to their bye. The only team they should lose to on paper in a vacuum is Tampa. They should be able to beat Atlanta at home. They should be able to take care of business against all those other teams, the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, Jets. So I do think that the AFC landscape has drastically changed.
Are you serious right now?
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It is Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons, and we're well aware the hype train didn't slow down between Tuesday and Wednesday. The Patriots hype train is headed to Nolens, and I'll give you my personal example of the hype. Someone in my world texted me, I think I should put $1,000 on the Pats to lay 3.5. And I was like,
what?
Are you out of your mind?
Wow, nice to know you're still talking with your son every day.
Are you out of your mind, bro?
Where's he getting that? Yeah, what? Jackson tapped into the family reserves now already?
Yeah, the NIL money's coming in.
But I will say, Tom Curran, who'll join us tomorrow at 3:30, is a week removed from Drake May. There's a dark side. There's a dumbness to his game.
I like that headline.
I still think, I liked it for a little while, I still think that there's some dumbness to this team. I'm sorry.
Where's the dumb?
I don't know. You had two defensive linemen with 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct
penalties. But that, what they were, hold on.
That's dumb.
I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack.
Why?
Because.
What are you, Rabel?
It's okay, guys.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
Yes. Yeah. You can commit all the penalties you want here in playtime. It's okay. It's, you know, it's.
Penalties don't correlate to winning and losing.
Gridiron room. Well, they're geeked up. It's Sunday Night Football. You're in Hell's Mouth out in Buffalo. You're trying too hard. They'll dial it back.
Okay. How about when you want to go jumbo package to pick up a short yardage play and the jumbo you brought in can't stay on side for the
Which
snap?
Which jumbo
count?
Was that?
That was Vidarian Lowe.
Oh, but see that you with Vidarian Lowe, you know.
Is he still on the roster?
Is he?
Is he? He is.
Oh, okay. All
yes, Dan Ball?
What if you have a running back who's overly generous and likes to give the ball to the other team more than keep it for himself?
Great example. Mm-hmm. He fumbled again, and the coach is like, don't worry about it. There's nothing that correlates fumbling to winning.
Listen, we signed a practice squad running back from Atlanta. Our fumbling problems are over. Rearview kid.
Jashawn or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't even know his last name. Jashawn is all. Yep. Corbin. Jashawn Corbin. Signed to the practice
squad. Sounds like a name from Arrested Development.
So I get why people like what they see from the Patriots. I get it. They played really well against a bad team, and then they followed it up by playing really well against a good team. Mm-hmm. They've won 2 in a row. They've won 3 overall, which in New England, based on recent years, you're almost matching your season total. Remember?
One more win.
Actually, no, you matched last year's because you were a 3-win football team. You take out that debacle. Yeah.
You won 3 on purpose last year. You won 3 on purpose so far this season. So far, if Mike Vrabel wanted to retire right now, he could say, I did what Gerard Mayo did, but in only 5 weeks' time.
He's a little young to retire. Although he did play, he's probably got good bank.
But you know what? If you've got enough money, you go on those Viking River cruises where they serve you wine in your room and you go traveling.
Or maybe just put $1 million on the Patriots to cover the 3.5 in New Orleans and then call it a career.
This just in, teaser to the 3-point stance. I'm not so sure I'd be putting that 3.5 down.
Oh, negative Fitzy. He likes the Bills.
Fitzy,
he likes
the
Yankees.
Hater.
Does he
Fitzy
like the Saints?
The hater.
Spencer Rattler. But it's the Patriots are playing well, and then we get the fortuitous stretch of the schedule, which the whole damn schedule is basically fortuitous, except for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like a tough game left.
They really do. The Ravens. And the Bills. I mean, just because it's at home, we're not penciling that in as a victory. I would actually pencil that in as a potential ass-whooping when Josh Allen goes, remember that last game?
Ass-whooping? I think this team at this point now is ass-whoop preventable. I think they are immune to ass-whoopery.
Boy. So Tom Curran's telling me they're going to be 10-3 at their bye. You're telling me they're, what is the word?
Ass-whoop immune.
Ass-whoop immune.
A-W-I.
And I get it. We look at the schedule. The 1-4 Saints on the horizon. Then the 1-4 Titans.
Dub.
than the 1-4 Browns.
Mind you, the Titans.
Tell me if you see a trend. The Titans have
a win because of the stupidest play of the year, if not the last 5 years, by Arizona's running back and literally the craziest touchdown I've ever seen in football.
And then it jumps up from 1-4 to 2-2 for the Falcons, a team that got blown out by the Panthers, the team you blew out a week later.
And then came back and knocked down the Commanders.
And then you have a real game against Tampa Bay, but then it's the Jets at 0-5.
See, yeah, there's three potential L's right there.
Jets at 0-5 on Thursday Night Football. Could that AKA be Aaron Glenn's last game? They got the long week after that. Do they can his ass?
No, he makes the season.
Rich Kotite's like, please become the worst coach in the history.
Al Groh's like, wow, even I knew when to pull out of this.
And the Bengals, 2-3.
Uh-huh.
Normally you'd be like, oh, the Bengals, tough game.
Big heave-ho Joe and the Bengals.
Joe Flacco, maybe.
Side note, do we think Joe Flacco, because Jake Browning's been very disappointing this season. 2 years ago.
He's proving my point. Everybody thought he was a good backup quarterback. There's no such thing.
He was sneaky. No. I,
good backup quarterbacks get exposed about hypothesis. Two games in.
No, Jake Browning was excellent a couple years ago.
For how long?
Longer than two games.
You sure about that?
Yep.
You sure about that?
I'm sure about it. Pretty sure.
Check it.
Yep. I will. I'll fact check it.
Everybody liked him because his wife wore a one-piece skin-tight cat suit
thing. That was part of the equation. I'm not going to lie. And you can't take your eyes off his girlfriend. But
that was true.
Yeah.
Will Fleming's like, yeah, that was true.
Yeah. No, completely honest. But he's been a massive disappointment, and the Bengals have lost three in a row. They had to make the move. From what I read this morning on ESPN, they tried desperately to get Kirk Cousins. They tried to get a bunch of different backups. None were available. They even tried to get Famous Jameis, which would have been... Ja'Marr Chase and Famous Jameis on the same team would have been a show.
Now, that game signed me up for because I'm thinking 45-42, whoever wins. Because you're going to be in a shootout with Jameis, but he's going to give you defensive scores.
That's where you tell the friend of yours that said, oh, should I bet $1,000 on the Pats? You say, no. You bet $5,000 on the over.
Pound the over. Speaking of the over real quick... This is the saddest text I believe we've ever heard. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Ball. The 959 says, wait, we heard Hart and Fitzy were killed in a car accident. They are still alive? Very sad to hear. That might be the meanest text ever.
What?
That's hurtful.
Where?
Who's spreading rumors that we were dead?
Who writes that kind of crap?
And why would we be in the same car?
Honestly, who starts their day by saying, you know what I need to do? I need to write a fake death text about some radio host.
And about us. Like, if you're going to do it, make it somebody a little bit more notable. No, I mean, we are who we are.
Right.
Like, maybe do, like, Stern.
Man. But you know what it is?
Don Imus. Is he still with us?
Buffalo.
Or is he already gone?
Imus?
Yeah.
Or 7FAR, Don Imus here.
He's already gone? You can't write it about it. Well, you could. It'd be true.
All right, man. I won't be joining you for dinner. I'm dead.
Getting back to the Patriots. Everybody is now penciling in playoffs. I did the poll yesterday. It was well over 80% of Patriots fans now, and I use this word intentionally because words have meaning, expect the Patriots to make the playoffs. Expect. We are 2 weeks removed from a loss to the Steelers in which you accurately described it, turned it over six times because it ended on downs. That's a sixth turnover. Turnover on downs is
six.
Literally how
One
they
more,
call
it. One more, it would have been seven.
So 2 weeks removed from that. And one of the wins was a blowout of Bryce Young, who looked like he didn't want to play for the Panthers anymore late in that game.
Except then the next week, he and Rico Dowdle came back and they were down, what was it, 17-0, 17-3, 21-0 against the Dolphins and like found their mojo all over again.
But that's irrelevant. It's a bad football team with a bad quarterback. He's been benched previously in his career. So you get one win in Buffalo, and I don't want to alarm you people.
Yep, here we go.
But you people always tell me
2-12.
Every year the Patriots find a way to steal a game from the Bills, correct?
They kind of seem to, yes.
Okay.
Does that devalue this win? Whether it's a three pass affair in Buffalo in 2021, the game in 2023 where Josh Allen played like crap. Last year, of course, the let's blow the first overall pick game, all of those.
So you beat the Bills. You people tell me you always beat the Bills.
Well, see, here's the thing. This is my big question based off of something you said on Monday. We never really got to it yesterday. How much of Sunday's surprise win or like upset, you can't not call it an upset if you're an 8.5-point dog on the road. How much of that upset was on the Patriots' effort and how much of it was because Buffalo didn't play to their best?
I give most of it to the Patriots' effort. I don't think the Bills played terribly. Obviously, the turnovers, big factor.
Yeah,
turnovers were key.
I'm 70-30, 75-25.
I think the Patriots went into Buffalo and beat the Bills. I just don't know if the Bills and Sean McDermott, we played the audio from last Wednesday. He was trying to cull up competitive nature in his team. He was trying to get his team to avoid a letdown, to avoid looking past the Patriots and say, no, the Patriots and Drake May got something going. And he couldn't do it because the Patriots had more energy. Stephon Diggs had more energy. There was more competitive fight. Compete level. It's hockey season, so we can bring compete level to the conversation here for the Patriots. There was more compete level for the Patriots than there was for the Bills on Sunday night.
I have some good news for you regarding Steph Diggs and their mindset towards Sunday. We have some fresh audio from the Patriots locker room, courtesy of our pal Megan Ottolini, where Steph Diggs addresses that same notion of gearing up for Buffalo and then actually needing to realize how important it is to bring that same level of energy, that same level of compete, that same level of preparation for New Orleans. We have, it's being
effort. Oh, you're right not now. Setting it it's, up. No, I thought you were setting it up there.
I was trying
I had
to
no idea what you
I
were
was
doing.
Trying to stretch for time. I was just, come on, vamp a little longer. It might almost be there.
So we'll have what? That.
We'll have that soon.
Steph Diggs audio from Gillette talking about a Patriots letdown. Is there a potential for a letdown this week in New Orleans, or is this just hit the accelerator and beat the teams you are supposed to beat? Are the Patriots good enough, and are they trustworthy enough to say, oh, you're supposed to beat that team, you're supposed to beat that team, you're supposed to beat that team, and can they go on a run here to, again, Tom Curran said 10-3 at your bye week. 10-3, talk of not just the town, NFL, double-digit wins. Are you recalculating your win total for the season? I think we're going to do that a little bit later.
We're doing that already, five weeks in?
Well, throughout the offseason, we recalculated downward most times. We reacted to joint practices and preseason games and all of that. Are we recalculating upward? Because you know who did? Las Vegas. The win total for your New England Patriots is now 9.5.
Come on.
So if you want the over, you got to take the Tom Curran-esque 10 wins or the Brian Hoyer-esque high range, 10 or 11 wins.
So just to follow this, they opened at 7.5, went to 8.5, then after week one went down to 7.5.
Correct.
And now after four weeks later and two straight wins, one against a bad team, one against a good team, they're up to 9.5.
But I will say, I think Vegas is also probably calculating in what I just read. 1-4, 1-4, 1-4, 0-5. The team's on
the
schedule.
They do all the numbers.
The schedule is weak. We knew it was weak coming into the season. It's probably weaker than it was because the Ravens aren't as good and the Bengals don't have a quarterback. 617-779-7937. We're talking about the Patriots and the recalibrated expectations for this football team. I believe Stiz now has that audio that Fitzy was talking about. Stephon Diggs, can the Patriots be trusted? Will the Patriots have a letdown? What does the guy who brings the juice to the team have to say about it?
I think it's super important that we flip the pitch.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Considering New Orleans Saints is a really good football team. I know the record might not show it, but they're very skillful up front and in the back end. And, to be honest, it might be a bigger test than last week just as far as like having success and being able to replicate that process or, you know, do it all over again and, you know, work equally as hard and attention to detail and focus because this opponent, I know their record doesn't say it, but that's a good football team. And they've been in one-score games plenty of times, and I don't expect it to be no different. We got to go in there with the right mindset.
He continues to
impress,
succeed everywhere except social media. If I ignore social media existing and any photos, videos, allegations,
that's really hard to do.
Just ignore social media. Stephon Diggs is a hell of a Patriot, hell of a teammate, hell of a leader, hell of a player. He's bringing everything to the table that you could ask for and more.
Scorching take inquiry coming in 3, 2, 1. Is Stephon Diggs the leader and face of this team?
Right now, he feels like the leader. Are we eliminating Vrabel or is Vrabel?
I'm hearing more from Diggs than I am from Vrabel now, and I see more Diggs. Andy,
Stephon Diggs is a better leader
Andy,
than Mike
in
Vrabel.
Hot
take, Fitzy.
In three clips, the pregame interview with Melissa Stark, the on-field, we all we got, we all we need, and then the postgame locker room speech. In those three clips on Sunday, plus that incredible 10 catch, 146 yard effort, it feels to me like Steph Diggs grabbed the available face of franchise and leadership mantle and went running with it. And if that knee holds up, he's not going to let it go.
Yeah, the leadership here is, if there was a pause there, it's because I was being talked to in my ear, and I'm not great at that. Like, I'm being told here.
We have some developing news that we were telling Andy about that we'll get to next.
Yes, the second segment of this show is going to be quite interesting.
Football related?
Football related, and we'll get to it. I'll tease it properly as we get there, but who's just to put a bow.
Some would say we're not talking about this.
Yeah, we're not talking about this.
Oh.
To put a bow
sex
on
tape?
To put a bow on the
nailed
thoughts that, yes, Diz put a sex tape in the kitchen. It's yours free if you want to go pick it up.
Really?
That's what everybody's taking. He put them in real DVD cases, but there's 31 versions of Stiz Goes to Chelsea, or whatever you want to call
it. Boy, are you going to be disappointed.
One night in Chelsea. One night in Chelsea with Stiz as the lead role.
Yeah.
I like it.
Boom.
Have you ever seen Stiz behind bars?
Nope. Don't want to. Also, don't want to see him naked or in the act of anything like that. I like him behind the glass.
Stiz, you are like the new Ernest. Like, we should just make a series of movies with you, just like Stiz goes to summer camp. Stiz gets a job.
All right, coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we have some interesting commentary on Bill Belichick. Are they talking exit strategy at North Carolina? Ted Johnson said yesterday he might not make it through the season. Could it come to an end faster than that for the Tar Heels coach and former greatest football coach of all time, Bill Belichick? Chatter, more of it up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Remember, stick around 3:45 for Adam Schefter, and maybe most importantly, 5:30. Quiz with Stiz is back. You know the man. You know the game. It is the most popular part of our show at times. Quiz with Stiz, 5:30. But up next, another popular part of our show. It's Dan Ball and that beautiful voice with What's Trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.